Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College,
This is
War News Radio.
Welcome back to Narrow Passages, War News Radio's series on the Syrian refugee crisis and the resettlement process. I'm Jake Staddle.
And I'm George Menz.
In previous weeks, we focused on the process of displaced persons gaining refugee status, which makes them eligible to receive asylum in the United States. This week, we're going to take a look at what happens when refugees reach our shores and some of the organizations which help them settle into their new lives. As a quick note, this piece was prepared in fall 2016, before the electoral victory of Donald Trump. Many of the norms and policies discussed thus far in Narrow Passages have already changed under the new administration.
Our case study for this process is Allentown, Pennsylvania, a city of about 120,000 people 50 miles north of Philadelphia in the Lehigh Valley region. It might seem unlikely, but Allentown is actually home to one of the largest Syrian-American communities in the country. It's also been an immigrant community for hundreds of years.
Allentown has always been a city of newcomers. My own family came to the city as German immigrants in the 19th century. But Allentown has also had a prominent Syrian population dating back to the late 1800s, receiving migrants from the country ever since. Until the recent moratorium, Syrians fleeing the Civil War were arriving in Allentown as refugees weekly.
In order to learn about how resettlement was carried out, we talked to Marla Sell, the Allentown director of Bethany Christian Services, the nonprofit organization in charge of refugee resettlement in the region.
We do get refugees from all different countries, depending what's happening in the world. But we've gotten several families from Syria. In the last year, it was the largest group that we've had, out of all the different countries. We had, since Bethany started, we've had 60 refugees come in.
Once the refugees reach Allentown, the work really begins. Bethany Christian Services receives $1,125 from the State Department for each refugee, which gives them about 3 months to help the families become self-sufficient.
Once we get notice that the family is coming, then we prepare, find housing, furnish the housing, make sure that we meet them at the airport, make sure they have food, make sure they have clothing, car seats, whatever they need on arrival. And then it kind of goes from there, helping them apply for benefits, applying for their social security card, getting a medical checkup, getting the kids in school, the adults in English class, getting them jobs, and so on. I think if you actually ask some of the refugees, they'd probably say the struggles are different than what I said. Because I'm saying it from the perspective of, of the caseworker. Our biggest struggles are getting them a job and getting them transportation. Their struggles may be more around language or I don't know how to talk to my kid's teacher or something like that.
Helping the refugees become self-sufficient in just 3 months is no easy task. All in all, public funds only cover about 40% of Bethany's budget. The rest has to come from donations or other private sources.
Bethany also collaborates with other religious groups in Allentown, like the Muslim Association of Lehigh Valley, to help the refugees get settled.
We've had a long-standing relationship with the Muslim Association. Since I started working with refugees back in 2000, we've had a relationship with them and kind of let them know when we get, when we get Muslim refugees in and how they can help. We've had many churches over time sponsor refugees that basically they get a committee together and they take care of the family and do kind of all the things that we would normally do with our support. For like 6 months. We have also individual volunteers. We work with the school district. We work with the community college for English classes. So it's all collaboration and all. We could never do it ourselves.
In addition to this, there is also an emphasis on integrating refugee children into the education system. All children from ages 5 to 17 are enrolled in schools.
So all the kids, age 5 to, just about to turn 18, like 5 through 17, are enrolled in school. Allentown School District's pretty great. They're used to dealing with, a huge amount of ESL students whose first language is not English. So we enroll them. They even have, for kids in grades 7 through 12, as part of Allentown School District, they have Newcomer Academy, so it's like a separate building that the students get bused to for their first year, and it kind of helps them adjust.
To understand refugee resettlement in Allentown from the perspective of the municipality itself, we spoke with the current mayor, Ed Pulowski. As we found out, nonprofits like Bethany Christian Services take the reins of resettlement work, with the city's role being more indirect. When asked about how the influx of refugees has affected Allentown and whether it has proven a burden, Mayor Pulowski answered,
The actual impact is negligible at best. Allentown, I think, has had a total of about 17 families that have actually been settled in the city. I mean, 17 families out of 120,000+ people really puts very little burden on the system.
Mayor Pulowski has become an outspoken advocate for welcoming refugees into U.S. cities.
So right or wrong, I think if we deny the Syrian refugees, we should pull down the Statue of Liberty and send it back to France, because we are taking the principles that this nation was really founded upon and saying we don't believe in those principles anymore.
Sentiment like this has brought Mayor Pulowski into the national spotlight over the last 2 years, even co-signing a letter urging President Obama to allow a larger number of refugees to enter the country. This attention garnered him an NPR interview in October of 2015, where he said that Americans have a moral obligation to welcome Syrian refugees who make our cities stronger. In response, he received thousands of negative emails, but only one from the Allentown area.
It was like two or three total out of thousands that came. And I looked at that and I thought, that says it all. It shows the real pulse of what's happening within our community, and that, our community is an open community, and it's accepting and has accepted different immigrant groups and refugees over the course of a number of years, and continues to be open to accepting these refugees. And I'm very, very proud of our citizenry because of that, whether it's, refugees or other immigrant groups that are coming into our community. And I have often said many, many times, if your city isn't a welcoming city, if it isn't welcoming immigrant groups, if it isn't welcoming to these refugee groups, you are dying. You're dying.
Yeah.
Because, immigrants and refugee groups have made up the bulk of increases in urban populations dating back to the dawn of this country.
Often, public discourse over the refugee process talks about refugees in the abstract. Pundits discuss the potential threat that hypothetical refugees might pose. Instead, we should look to the many American cities and towns like Allentown, where refugee resettlement is an ongoing reality.
How does resettlement and integration work? What are the real challenges that come with this process? But also, what are the benefits? As Mayor Pulowski so emphatically discussed, these benefits are tangible and should not be overlooked.
Since these interviews were conducted, much has changed. A draft of an executive order was leaked to the press, which, if made official, would put a moratorium on Syrian refugees entering the United States. On Friday, January 27th, 2017, that order was signed. Many of the concerns that Mayor Pulowski brought up in our interview have since become reality.
What lies in the future for Syrian refugees? How will the new administration address this humanitarian crisis? All we can say for certain is that under the Trump presidency, all the rules which have governed refugee resettlement in the United States are now in doubt. We'll be right back.
That's all for this week. I'm Leo Elliott. Our show this week was written and produced by George Menz, Jake Staddle, and Matthew Chaffinch. War News Radio is a production of Swarthmore College. Visit us online to listen to archive shows, learn more about our program, or subscribe to our podcast. That's warnewsradio.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter to keep up between shows, and let us know what you think. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.